Okay, so we're about to begin the next sugya, which is in a sense a continuation of the long Rav Bashashim sugya, but it's an entity in and of itself. So comes the Gemara back on the bottom of Amud Beis and Amud Beis and tells us the story about Rav Bashashim. There was a rumor flying around that he was eating the karak of Yisomim, not a very good rumor to be had about him. And Abaye asked him what's going on, explained to him what's happening. So he gave a whole shekel Torah that the Yisomim owed him money, the father owed him money in another shekel. He knew that if he would try to collect from that shnachov, he would have a problem. He would have to take a shvuah. He didn't want to take a shvuah, a whole store, a taisun, a rush, a shpam from the previous sugya. So he came up with these devices, phenomenal plan. He's going to hold on to the mashkin of karka, which even though the time of the mashkin was over already, he's going to continue to eat the fruit of that land. And that, in effect, is going to create a migo for him. And the migo is that migo that could have said the land itself is a kuchi biyadi, he's going to be believed to collect the other star. And in Shalom Yisrael, that was the Migo, that was the whole grandiose plan of Rav Bashashim in a nutshell. So come to Rishonim and Medayek in this plan of Rav Bashashim, that there seems to be one point which is superfluous here. And that's the Gemara Namel Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that V'achlasah Shnei Mashkanta, that I'm going to actually... follow the lines down. Ella ach b'shel l'shtam mashkanta. So ach b'shel l'shtam mashkanta. V'och l'shir zuzi. That I'm going to eat the fruit in this mashkum, which I'm not really entitled to anymore because the time is up. I'm going to eat the amount of money worth that the Yisomim actually owe me. And that's going to create the migo for me. The migo di ba'ini amino l'kuchim yadim ha'emnina kemir di yisuzut b'kabayach v'emnina. That was the migo. So what's superfluous in the plan of Rabbi Bashashim? V'och l'shir zuzi. It's clear from Rabbi Bashashim's plan and from the criticism that he got from Abaye is that, in fact, he had went ahead and actually ate the fruit. It means he was proactive. He went ahead and he made the calculation himself. He went ahead and he ate the fruit worth $10,000, whatever the amount of the shtar was. And then he presents. Then he was ready to present himself to Beis Din. What's the problem that Rabbi Bashashim did? He didn't have to go that far. Why did he have to go ahead and actually eat the fruit? Why didn't he come to the assignment with the following? Before he was ready to eat the fruit, he had been living on the land. So he had the tain of lakuach biyadi. He had the migo in his hands. Why didn't he come straight forward to the assignment and say, listen, I got a shtar of $10,000. I want to collect from you. Normally I'd be required to take a shvuah, but the problem is he's only pala b'shvuah. But migo that I could have held on to this land and said, lakuach biyadi. So believe me, to collect the $10,000, migo that I could have sent the kuchi biyadi. Why did he have to go the extra mile and actually eat the $10,000 worth of food first, and then start to fight it out with the assignment? That's the question that the Rishonim are bothered with. Now, I don't know, if I was a Rishon, would I be bothered with that kasha? Would you be bothered with that kasha? So l'chari, it's a tremendous kasha. It's a powerful kasha, because ultimately, that's what made Rav Bashashim, what he did, look unethical. That's what made Rav Bashashim look like a gazlan. That he was going ahead and eating fruit that really he wasn't entitled to. It's true that he was entitled to $10,000 from the assignment, but he was not entitled to $10,000 from this land. So he went ahead and did something which smacked of gazelle. Again, it wasn't really gazelle, because at the end of the day, he was entitled to the money, but he did something that smacked of gazelle. And it was unnecessary to do it. He could have just come clean to Beis Din at the very beginning and said, listen, believe me on the $10,000, migo that I can go ahead now and eat the fruit and stay on the land. That's the kasha to Rishon Rabbah. So who leads the pack in terms of this kasha? Who's the Rishon who formulates this kasha clearly? Rabbeinu Yehuda. So come to Rabbeinu Yehuda, the Baal Shari Tshuva, you know, the Ilam HaMuster, he couldn't believe Rabbi Shashim would do something that smacked of not ethical. Comes Rabbeinu Yehuda, and asked his kasha. He says he doesn't understand Rav Bashashim. What was he thinking? Why did he have to do this for? Why was the eating of the fruit necessary to his claim? L'chayr, he had the same migo before he ate the fruit as well as after he ate the fruit. That's Rabbi Yehuda's kasha. The answer to that kasha is today's shia, hopefully the next shia, maybe the next shia. We have a few shiurim to try to figure out what the correct answer to that question is. And depending on your answer to that question, it's going to open up whole worlds for us in terms of understanding Rav Bashashim Sugya, and by extension, understanding a lot more things about Klolim of Migo and other Klolim and Halacha. So that's the goal. Try to understand, try to get to the head of Rav Bashashim. Can you imagine this story wouldn't have happened? It would have been so boring. We would have lost the whole 20 sugyas. Rabbi Shashim would have thought of the shtick. So, why did Rabbi Shashim do what he did? Why didn't he just come straight forward with the meal? Comes Rabbeinu Yaina with the first teretz. New Rabbi said, what's the first teretz? Most obvious teretz? Comes Rabbeinu Yaina and says, Rabbi Bashashim's whole case, his whole claim, was predicated on amigo. So again, for him to come and demand $10,000 with the shtar, that's not going to help him, even though he'll win the din Torah, but he'll have to take a shvua, and he's trying to avoid that. So the whole point of Rabbi Bashashim is to win the din Torah without a shvua. The only way for him to do that is to invoke the principle of migo. So we're using Hilchas migo here. Comes Rabbi Yain and throws two words at you, the two bad words about migo. Rabbi said, what was the first sugya this semester? He said, migo lehoitzi. That's why Rabbi Bashashim had to do what he did. If Rabbi Bashashim would have come forward at the beginning and not yet have eaten the fruit, would have been standing there on the land ready to eat the fruit and say, okay, give me $10,000, migo that I can eat the fruit now, nothing doing. We're not going to give you $10,000. To ask the Levi to come forward and give $10,000 out of his pocket, to ask the Yisrael to give $10,000 out of the pocket based on a migo, that's a violation of migo lehoitzi. Rabbi Bashashim had to outsmart the Hilchas migo, and he had to go ahead and take the $10,000 first, i.e., not through the cash, but take that $10,000 worth of fruit. And then the Yisrael would come in and say, hey, wait a second, give us the $10,000 back. And Rabbi Bashashim would say, no, I'm not going to give you the $10,000 back. Echob amigo. I have amigo. That's not amigo lehoitzi, that's amigo lehachzik. So that's why Rabbi Bashashim had to eat the fruit first, in order to create the ability for his migo to get off the ground. Otherwise, it would have been a migo lehoitzi, not a migo lehachzik. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah's thrust of his first teretz. So comes Rabbeinu Yonah and is sensitive to this teretz. And comes Rabbeinu Yonah and says, wait a second, that's a poshut. Would this really have been bound by the limitations of migo lehoitzi? Is this case really a migo lehoitzi? The Beit said, there's another word that's thrown into this equation. This is not a classic migo lehoitzi. New Rabbi say, it's not for nothing that we learned all the sugyas at the beginning of the semester 2 weeks ago. What is this? This is a migo lehoitzi with a what? With a what? With a shtar. He has a shtar. Right? Rabbi Bashashim had a shtar in his hands. He has a shtar that says, you say, we owe him $10,000. So this is a classic example of a migo lehoitzi with a shtar. Hadra kusha leduchta, Zakhtar Beni Yaina. If this is a migo lehoitzi with a shtar, so everybody knows that a migo lehoitzi with a shtar is a good migo lehoitzi. Who knows this? Who told us this? Tosfos told us this. How did Tosfos know this? They dug up a Gemara where? Ksubis, the sugya sitroi. Remember, didn't we talk about this last week? Okay? Tosfos shita in the same moment, right? You're going to have to turn back the page. Lama beis, lama beis. Tosfos in the bottom, lama beis, lama beis, quote, dug up a Gemara in Ksubis, and daf, what was it? Daf, Pehei, where Tosfos was medayik from the sugya sitroi. That even though a migal haitzi lay amrinan, but a migal haitzi with a shtar kein amrinan, so Rabbeinu Yonah is clearly going the ikvos habali atosfos, or else he wouldn't have even been bothered with this question. So Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to defend why is this a migal haitzi? It is a shtar. So lu yitzu that Rabbeinu Yonah held like his cousin, who's the Rabbeinu Yonah's cousin? The Ramban. If he would have held like his cousin, the Ramban, who holds what? Who holds that migal haitzi even with a shtar lo amrinan? Because if you remember, the Ramban had a different understanding of sitroi. Anyone remember this? 2 weeks ago, right? No? That was a migal haitzi, right? Did we talk about this? Berichos? No? Who's with us? Everyone's with us? Yeah, a little bit. Okay. So we had a machlekes in the Ramban all of 2 weeks ago, whether migal haitzi with a shtar works, or whether migal haitzi with a shtar doesn't work. So lu yitzu the Rabbeinu Yonah would have held, like the Ramban, that migal haitzi with a shtar doesn't work, then he wouldn't have been bothered with the question. He would have stopped right here. He wouldn't have bothered to continue in his pshat. But no, Rabbeinu Yonah is clear as day, and I say it 100 times because other people didn't understand that, but we'll get to them a little bit later. Rabbeinu Yonah is clear as day that Rabbeinu Yonah held, like Tosfos, that notwithstanding the klal, that migal haitzi lo amrinan, but migal haitzi with a shtar is what? Is kein amrinan. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, hada kush leduchta, akash lemaisa and Rabbi Bashashim. Why did Rabbi Bashashim bother eating the fruit first, getting himself into a dilemma in ethics and morality, get himself into trouble with Abai, get people spreading words that a Heilig HaMoreh is eating Nechsi Yisayimim? Why did he just come straight to Beis Din before eating the fruit? What did he have to gain? He had a migo, had an ayat migo lehotzi, no, but it's a migo lehotzi with a shtar. This is all Rabbeinu Yonah's kasha. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah and says no. We have to further qualify the qualification of the previous qualification. What do I mean by that? It says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's a klal called migo. Qualify that klal, migo lehoitzi le'amrinan. Qualify that qualification, migo lehoitzi with a shtar, kein amrinan. Qualify the qualification of the qualification, not always do you say migo lehoitzi with a shtar. Not all shtaros are created equal. Sometimes Migilah Hotzi with the shtar works, and sometimes Migilah Hotzi with the shtar doesn't work. What does it depend upon, says Rabbi Yaina? Very simple. If the shtar that you're holding in your hand wins hands down, you can walk into Beis Din, present the shtar, and walk away with cash. That's called a good Migil. That's called a good shtar, and such a shtar will be labeled as not a Migilah Hotzi. But if the shtar that you have in your hand isn't so perfect, the shtar that you have in your hand needs something else, needs a kick also. What does that shtar need? What kind of a kick does the shtar need? It needs something to boost it up. Namely, the shtar will win the dintar for you, provided that you take a shvua. A shtar with a shvua? A shtar that requires a shvua? Such a shtar? Gesh, man, that's not such a good shtar anymore. And a shtar with a shvua is commando. A shtar that requires a shvua is commando leisadami. If it's commando leisadami, therefore it's amiga lahaitzi, and amiga lahaitzi la'aminon, and that's where Rav Bashashim had to eat the fruit. Whoa. Everyone catch that? I got so confused. I lost myself. So it was very, very simple. We have, how many klolim do we have now? 4 klolim on the board. Amiga lahaitzi is what? Amiga lahaitzi is no good. Amiga lahaitzi with a shtar is great. Amiga lahaitzi with a shtar, mishtar, shatzar, shvua, is once again no good. It becomes back to a regular, plain old Migil Haitzi, and that's Rabbi Bashashim. This is Rabbi Yonah's analysis of the Gemara. Everyone saw this when you read the Gemara. You read this Gemara. Everyone realized this question? Right? No? Nobody? Yeshua, when you read this Gemara, you didn't ask this Kasha, right? You read the Gemara and you say, hey, wait a second, why did he eat the fruit? Right? So the answer is, it's a Migil Haitzi otherwise. He said, no, it's a Migil Haitzi with a shtar. He said, no, it's a Migil Haitzi with a shtar, shatzar, shvua, right? Very simple progression. This is how Rabbi Yonah learned the Gemara. So far, so good? Great. Yeah, Moshe.
The shvua here is not so much
like
the shtar, but
in the... A boli parmi riski shvua, even with a shtar. Even with a shtar. Right now. Right now. Could Rabbi Shasha win?
It's true.
Good, you said it. It's true.
There's some indicting of the
shtar itself. I just said, I'm not indicting the shtar. I'm not indicting anybody. I'm just saying that right now the shtar is meaningless because it needs a shvua. So shtar itself can't carry anything. Rabbi Isai, I want to understand this klal, because this is a new klal. Everything else on the board we've seen already. We already know. Magic marbles here. Everything else we know. We know what Migil Lahotzi is. We know why Migil Lahotzi doesn't work. We said Shtikl Torah is a Migil Lahotzi. We know that Migil Lahotzi and Shtar maybe works. Taisus, Atroi, maybe and maybe no. But we've seen this up to now. This is news for us. This is a new piece of information we have never encountered yet. That even though it's a Migil Lahotzi with a Shtar, but it's a Shtar, it's a Shvur, that's no good. I want to know why. I want to understand what is the nature of this new halacha that Rabbi Yonah just was mechadish to us. A new dimension of Hilchos Migil. Klal 125, extension AC3, called Migil Tzarech Meshtar Tzarech Shvua doesn't work. Why not? What's the nature of that halacha? How would we go about even beginning to understand the nature of this halacha? Where would we have to go? Conceptually, what would we have to first understand before we can understand this halacha? There's no way we can understand this halacha without understanding this halacha. We're back to square one, Rabbi Zai. We don't really understand why this din is true. Not only do we not understand it, we had serious problems with this klal. Remember, who remembers the problem that we had with this klal? Migil Lahotzi the shtar, that it works. Taisus Deep from Sitturai. Who remembers that problem conceptually? We paskin like Beisha, we don't paskin like Beisha, we paskin like Beisilo. Shtar Omid Ligvois is Laafke Gobi Domi. Therefore, according to our analysis of why Migil Lahotzi doesn't work, going back to Klal 1. Again, we can only understand Klal 3 if we understand Klal 2. If we understand Klal 2, we understand Klal 1. Why is Migil Lahotzi La'amrinan? Presumably, because I'm Motzi Mechaber L'Varaya. Whenever you have a Suffolk in Mammon, so you need Edim. Rove can't work to take away somebody's money. Migil Lahotzi is the Rove. And up in Mammon Acharov. That's what we were pretty comfortable with saying for the last couple of months. So we encountered this Klal called Migil Lahotzi Im Shtar. And we were baffled by this klal because shtar omid ligvos is lavke gavri dami. This sounds like pishamai, but we pass like pishamai. So we had problems with it. But we had problems. So we have problems. We remain unshaken in our amuna. And comes the ktsois and tells us that notwithstanding the fact that shtar omid ligvos is lavke gavri dami, we know this from Bisham Bisil from Sota. Comes the ktsois and says, it's not 100% true. Shtar omid lav kegavidom, tamen lux lav kegavidomi, depends on what area of halacha you're talking about. It becomes very, 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 very gray. But says the Ketzelos at the end of the day, Klal 2 is predicated on the assumption that Shtar Oed Ligvos is Kigovli Domi Lagabi certain halachas. Again, we had problems last time, we couldn't put our fingers on it, but the Ketzelos goes out on the limb and says that the reason why Migul Haitzim Shtar works, it's got to be because in certain areas of halacha, we adopt, in a sense, Bishamai's theory. Even they still agrees to a certain degree to Bishamai that a shtar is kigavli dami legabi kamei din hetayr. And again, I can't put my fingers on it. I can't be monitored it properly. But Tzedek tells that's the way it is. Comes in the Sivas and says it's not true. That reasoning is not correct. That does not explain properly why Migul Haitzim Shtar works. Says in the Sivas, we have to look for a totally different reason why Migul Haitzim Shtar works. Comes in the Sivas and says, what's the problem with Migul Haitzim? Again, you want to understand Klal 2, you got to go back to Klal 1. What's the problem with Migul Haitzim? What's the real problem with Migul Haitzim? Our old problem. It's what? It's a what? Amigo is at best a what? Statistical possibility. At best it's a rope. Back to 87.5%. But we've seen time and time again that sometimes you can hike the rove up to a certain point where that rove will be sufficient even to be Motzi Mamun. We saw it where? Who remembers? Some of the Marmakamos, we've seen it already a few times. We saw it even this semester. We saw it in the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Gimel Mevez. The Tosfos drew distinctions between rove Baris and rove Garuas. Even if you don't accept that Tosfos, we saw it where? Bava Basa Daf Hamad Aleph. Chazok Adon and Perebis of Zmano. Who remembers? No one remembers? Chazok Adon and Perebis of Zmano. That if a guy claims that he paid back the chov within the 30 days, within the time that the chov was supposed to be paid back, that's not a valid taina, and I can even be motzi mamon based on that. It's only a rove. The answer is it's such a powerful, such an overwhelming rove, it has crossed the threshold of being a sufficient rove to be motzi mamon. When that's true, what that threshold is, what the nature is that a quantitatively different rove, a qualitatively different rove, those are things that we spoke about last semester. But everyone agrees that you reach a certain point where a robe is sufficient, the robe is powerful enough to be motzi mamon. That's kuli amalukli. The Gemara is like that, but feirish. But sometimes the robe is good enough to be motzi mamon. Can't argue with that. Comes in a Sivas and says, you know what a migul haitzim ashtar is? It's just a tallying up of different robes. Person has a migo. That's pretty convincing. I have a migo. That's an 80% chance. You're probably telling the truth. You have a migo. Sorry, Charlie, you fall short. You can't be motzi mamon based on that. Erech mam racharov. Okay, stop with that. I have a shtar. You have a shtar? That's interesting. Usually the person who has a shtar usually has the upper hand. Not absolutely convincing, not necessarily, not always. But now you start to do the math. When you have a migo with the shtar combined together, what does the shtar do? The shtar hikes up the migo to the point where the migo is now a sufficient rove to be mighty mamon. That's what migo and shtar does, according to the Nesivis. That is conceptually different than the Ketzos' understanding of the Klal of Migo and Shtar. According to the Ketzos, Migo and Shtar together do not work together. It's not that you add up the same page. I have a little bit of a Migo, a little bit of a Shtar. I got a total sum of 87%. I'm going after Migo and Shtar. No, that's not at all what Migo and Shtar does. According to the Ketzos, conceptually, what Shtar does for some deep, dark secret, we don't understand it because we're convinced that Basilo is right, but however you're going to slice it, what Shtar does is it changes the Din Torah in the sense of it creates a new Muchzak. We thought one guy was Muchzak, the other guy was the Motzi, we got it all wrong. Shtar Oed Ligvos and Gavli Domi changes the equation, and now Migo works based on the regular percentage points of Migo. A Migo Lotzi the Shtar is not a higher Migo. A Migo Lotzi the Shtar is not a better percentage, it's not a higher statistics of Migo. A Migo Lotzi and a Shtar is no longer a Migo Lotzi. That's the Pshat. When you have a shtar, that's not called a migul haitzi. According to the Nesivis, that's not all what happens. According to the Nesivis, it's called a lahotzi. It's the lahotzi. The muchzik hasn't been changed. Shtar over libas is lafki gavidami. You have the same guy as the muchzik, the same guy as the baitzi, but you're not trying to be motzi the mamon just based on migul now. Now you're trying to be motzi the mamon based on migul plus shtar. Migul plus shtar combined together, it works lahotzi. So if you had to really break it down just into simple words, just to simplify this concept, this machlek is exciting in the Nesivis. So I'd say as follows. It's an example of how modern day technology has not accomplished anything. I said, when I was a kid, we wrote on blackboards, okay? Chalk, it never ran out. You always had a chalkboard. So it got them over your suits, but at least it lasted. Okay. Migla Hotzi Lamrina. This is the name of the cloud. This doesn't work. Migla Hotzi does not work to the Hotzi Mamon. When you have a shtar, it works. Why does it work? Which part of this phrase, Migla Hotzi, was just changed in the presence of a shtar? So according to the Ktsais, you know what was just changed? This term is changed. It's not Lahotzi anymore. When you have a shtar, now the person who used to be the Motzi is called the Mukhsar. It's not a Migla Hotzi anymore. According to Nesivus, which word was changed? Migo was changed. It's not just the Migo, which is merely 85%. It's a Migo plus a Shtar, which is 95%. So conceptually, we have a Machlaikas in the Ktsais and the Nesivus. What's going on? But let's take this one step further. Now that we know the Machlaikas, the Ktsais and the Nesivus as to why a Migo Lahitzi with the Shtar works, so we begin to understand Rabbeinu Yonah and our Sugya. What did Rabbeinu Yonah tell us? Rabbeinu Yonah told us that a Migo Lahitzi with a Shtar, if the Shtar requires a Shvua, this is bad. This causes tzaras for us. This phrase, tzarach shvua, raises an eyebrow. This causes problems. The requirement of a shvua changes klal number two. Why is that? Why does the existence of a shvua change anything?
Because the mishkan is not strong enough to combine with the robes.
I wouldn't go the robe. I wouldn't go the robe. What would you say? No? What would you say, everybody say? This Rabbeinu Yonah is a raya for the Ktsais or for the Nesivus? Oh, it doesn't work. Of course he's right. Of course there's a raya brew for the Ktsais. That's not a raya for the Nesivus at all. Of course it's a raya for the Ktsais. What did the Ktsais say? The Ktsais said that when you have a din, what does shtar oimed ligvos kegavi dami mean? What do the words mean? Shtar oimed ligvos kegavi dami. Listen to the words. So again, we don't pass make the Shammai's version of it that it means that mamish lechol dini atargut zolzai. But we pass get a watered down version of shtar oimed ligvos. So listen to the words. Shtar oimed ligvos. What does oimed ligvos mean? What does oimed ligvos mean? It's about to be collected. It's nothing stopping it. Nothing in its way. It's ready to be done. Shtar oimed ligvos. Okay, it's about to be collected. It's kegavi dami. Mashal about the v'dayma. Give you a mashal b'yama. Okay, there's a klal machlekes atanoim about kol ome liktzot kekotzitz dami. You remember that klal? Kol ome liktzot kekotzitz machlekes atanoim. So it's enough kamid on the din in the following case. Anything that's about to be cut off is as if it's about to be cut off. Comes the Ravan in Hilchos Nida with a tremendous chumra. Comes the Ravan and says that if a person has long nails and they're about to cut their nails, they're about to go get a manicure, but they didn't get around to getting it right now, and the person goes to the mikveh with the long nails, knowing that they're about to get their nails cut as soon as they come out of the mikveh, you know what the Ravan says? He says the tefillah is no good. You know why the tefillah is no good? Because kola omid liktzeltz, it's kekotzitz dami. The nails that are long, are which are about to be cut, are as if they're already cut. So that means they're off the body now. They're detached from the body. But they're detached from the body, but where are they sitting? They're sitting on top of the finger. What are they? What are they constantly, Rabbi say? What? A chatzitza? So comes the Ravan with a wild chiddush. They call omid litzatz and katzadar, based on the Gemara Mesechus Vachim. If something is omid lekach to be katzotz, it's babashk even right now, it's katzotz, and there are enough communities with Dina based on that. Now again, whether we pass like this Ravan or chosnid or not is a different story. We're not learning chosnid right now, but that's what the Ravan says. At least the chatchila, the Ramon, the Shach quote this Ravan, la halacha. Good. Comes the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva, and he was asked the following question. There used to be a practice, all the practice in some communities, the Hasidic communities, used to be a practice in Hungary, says the Chassam Sofer, that when a woman would get married, so right after the wedding night, she would shave her head. But why they had the practice? They didn't have the practice. Not for now, we're not learning that sugi right now. But that used to be the meaning. So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, wait a second, what happened? The woman's going to the mikvah. She's getting married on a Sunday night. So she's going to the mikvah on Sunday afternoon, knowing full well that she's about to get a haircut tomorrow morning. She's omid lekach to get her hair shaved tomorrow morning. Rekta chsam soifer kasha. What's the din? we should say that kol ha'omer liktzotzos kikotzos dami. All the hair that's about to be cut off, it's as if it's already cut off. It's already cut off, but it's sticking on top of her head. So she's got the she's toveling the mikvah with a sheitel line. She's toveling the mikvah with something far, something which is not connected anymore. Based on kol ha'omer liktzotzos dami, says the Chasam Sofer, we should disqualify the tvila of the kala based on the klal of the ravan of kol ha'omer liktzotzos kikotzos dami. That was Chasam Sofer's kasha. So comes the Chasam Sofer and says, no, it's not a good kasha. You know why it's not a good kasha? Because the Chasam Sofer knew Maseches Zvachim. He dug up a Gemara Maseches Zvachim. The Gemara talks about these klalim of Kala Omeid, Lizrael Kizarek Dami, Kala Omeid, Lisrof Kisarof Dami, Kala Omeid, Liftos Kepari Dami. There are a lot of these Kala Omeids in Maseches Zvachim. And there's a klal in Maseches Zvachim that when do you say something is Kala Omeid, is something Dami, that's only if it's not Mechusar or Maisa. That's only if it's ready to be done at moment's notice. But if you have to first do something else, you have to first do a mice, you have to do something first before you can get to that point, that's not called kola omid liktoski krosses dami. That's not called kola omid liktoski krosses dami. Says the Chasam Sofer, if you have a woman who's not getting married, but she knows that she's going to, in 20 minutes for a haircut, and she's first going to go to the mikveh now, she's going to go to the mikveh now, and then right after the mikveh, she's going to cut her nails, cut her hair, for Shalom Chatzitza. That's the Ravan. Again, we follow the Ravan. Don't follow the Ravan. Not for now. But according to the Ravan, that would be a problem. But in the case of the Kalos getting married, so the minig was that they wouldn't get the haircut until after the wedding. Means after the wedding, if there'd be a Rishon, the next morning then and only then would they get the haircut. So comes the Chasam Sofer and says, that's not called Oimid Liktzitz, because there's something that's happening in the interim. They're getting married, having be a Rishon. There are a lot of actions that have to take place before they reach the point of Kol Omid Liktzitz. Al Zelo Nema Kol Omid Liktzitz. Kol Omid means that it's Mamish Omid. Omid Al Aperek. Okay, like a phrase. Omid Al Aperek. It's Mamish something which is about to happen. Anytime there's a Maisa that's interfering, that's not called Kol Omid. So that's the mashal I wanted to give for this Sugizma. Comes Rabbi Yona and says, why is it that Migul Mishtar works? Because kol omeid ligvois kigavi dami. Again, we have problems with that. We're not sure how by Shah, maybe still fit it. Okay, that's our problem. Maybe someday we'll deal with that problem. But the Ktzoy says, at the end of the day, the Rishonim were invoking this principle of migul haitzi mishtar, that it works, are relying on some formulation, some understanding, to some degree of kol omeid ligvois kigavi dami. So now we understand. That means when I have a shtar, there's nothing standing in my way. There's nothing blocking me from walking with the shtar into Beis Din and walking into your pocket and taking your money away. But if it's mechuser maisa, namely, what's it's mechuser? It's mechuser what? It's mechuser shvua. Beis Din's not going to listen to me right away. Beis Din's going to administer a shvua to me. It's going to be a whole process. The requirement of a shvua undermines the kol omeid dimension of the shtar. And as such, Kala Omei doesn't exist. Kala Omei doesn't exist, and we do no longer transform who the Muxik is, but back to square one with a regular plane of Migul Haitzi. So according to the Ktzais, I understand what happened here. According to the Ktzais, that the nature of Migul Haitzi Mishtar works because of Kala Omei Ligvos, it's predicated on some form of Kala Omei Ligvos, I understand why Shavua changes everything. According to Nesivus, it's all a numbers game. According to it's all a game. It's a game of statistics. If I have a Shtar, I'm willing to take the Shavua, so... But the fact that Beis Din's willing to administer the Shavua to me, they're going to give me the money, you have to take the Shavua, that shows Beis Din believes my shtar is emes. So my shtar also helps the number game. According to the Sivas, it's just a matter of statistics, so why should the requirement of a Shavua determine the statistics or not? Either my Migo is elevated or it's not elevated. If the shtar is there, the shtar is going to help me, so let the shtar with the Shavua push me over the past the point of an acceptable row to my Tzimamu. So the Chori, you see a Raya Brewer from this Rabbi Yonah, that the lomdus, the hakdara of migul haitzi im shtar working is based to some degree on the Ktzos's understanding of kol omeid ligvos, not working with the mahalach and the nesivos. That's the pashas of the okay, so far so good. Rabbi said, in light of this Rabbi Yonah, now we have to learn another sugya in Shas. We have to learn a sugya with the subas and understand the comment of Rabbi Yonah there, and it can only be understood in light of this Rabbi Yonah. Comes the Mishnah Maseches Ksubos, we spoke about this Mishnah yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, and lists off a whole series of different Shavuos mit derabbanan that were instituted by Chazal. Primarily, the purpose of the Mishnah in Ksubos is in the context of Ksubos, so some of the Shavuos are limited only to Ksubos, and there are others which are added from Ksubos. Comes the Mishnah and says, HaPagemis Ksubosa, Normally, if a woman comes with a ksuba to Beis Din, so she wins hands down. She has a ksuba. She has a shtar. The husband's going to say, paraiti, I paid it back. She's going to say, shtar chabiyadim my boy. She's going to win the case. No question about it. Unless she's pagamis ksubasa. What does pagamis ksubasa mean? You know who remembers? What? Half it was already paid. Pagam. What does pagam mean? There's a problem with it. Something bad about it. No, it's in time of gam, right? You're there. No, it's in time of gam. Once I was talking to somebody, and they called me, asked me some cautious questions. And the person who called me had, I can't say smicha, but whatever. They were called rabbi. Leave it at that. So the person called me, asked me some kind of a cautious question. So I just said in passing, I said, I think it's okay because it's a nice in time of gam. So they didn't know what that term meant. What nice in time of gam meant. So they thought what it meant, they realized from the context of the discussion, they said to me, oh, nice in time of gam, that means, they thought that meant it's a bad reason. Like it's a bad svara, nice in time of gam. I said a bad svara. I said, no, that's not nice. That may have been a bad svara that you just said. But nice in time of gam means it's a halachic concept that there's a nesinas tam, but the nesinas tam is bad tasting tam, so that's a new category in halacha. So that's what pagam means, that you're pogame something, means you're invalidating something, you're ruining something. So the woman is pogamus ksubasa, so she's throwing, she's ruining a ksuba. She's being pogamus a ksuba by saying that half it was already paid. So what does the Mishnah say? Pogamus ksubasa, lo si parla b'shvua. Right? She's got to take a shvua. No, what's the kasher, Mishnah? The woman comes to Beis Din, and she says, here's my ksuba, I want to collect. And the husband says, I paid you already. She says, no, you only paid me half, I want to collect. So Beis Din Paskins, she has to take a shvua. What's the kasher? She should be nemenes. Why? Why should she be nemenes? She shouldn't have to take a shvua. She has a migo. Everybody knows migo lift on mishvua works. You've never heard of the rimagash. Never heard of rimagashes. Migo lift on mishvua works. She should be nemenes with a migo. What's a migo? What? Migo. She could have said, "I wasn't paid back a penny." You don't have any aid in that I paid you that you paid me the ksuba. You don't have a receipt. You don't have a shaiva that I paid you that you paid me the ksuba. I get the upper hand in this din Torah. I have a shtar, a ksuba that says you owe me 200 zuz. And I'm saying, I'm being honest and straightforward with you, and I'm saying that, no, I was not paid 100. I don't have to say that. I'm being honest and I'm saying that you paid me already 100. You should believe me in what I'm saying, Migo, that I could have been denied the whole thing. I could have said you didn't pay me a penny and I would have been believed. I wouldn't believe easy. I wouldn't have had to take a shvur. If I would have been kaifa bakol in a sense, if I would have said, you never pay me a penny, I would have collected straight out without a shvua. So why did Chacham throw a shvua? Me, migo. That's the question that we're asking. Who asks this question? Everybody say, who formulates this question? Should we go back to quote the name of who? Tamidei Rabbeinu Yoina asked this question. The Hilge Tamidei Rabbeinu Yoina, the name of their Rebbe, the Hilge Rabbeinu Yoina was bothered with this kasha. Typically, that the woman has a migo. Kasha, or mice in the Mishnah. What does Rabbeinu Yoina answer? In one of his terutzim, at least the first terutzim we're going to focus on, what's his answer? What? What's the answer about saying? What? Migel Haitzi. Migel Haitzi Lamrina. Okay? Ad Kan. Did Rabbeinu Yoina understand? It's a Migel Haitzi and a Migel Haitzi Lamrina. That's all. Nope. Come the Acharonim and go to town and jump. The Tzitz and the Nesivus, everyone before and everyone after, and say, hey, wait a second. This is not a Migel Haitzi. This is a Migel Haitzi with a what? Shtar. She has a shtar. This is a Migel Haitzi with a shtar. So what is Rabbeinu Yonah explaining to me that the reason why she doesn't have that mana is because it's a Migel Haitzi. This is a Migel Haitzi with a shtar. And everybody knows that a Migel Haitzi with a shtar is good. Everybody knows that. A Migel Haitzi with a shtar works. Right? So what's Pshat Rabbeinu Yonah? What kind of terrorist is that? It's a Migel Haitzi. It's a Migel Haitzi with a shtar. Comes the Ktzois, Mitai Chomer HaKusha, and comes the Ktzois and says, you know what the answer is? Why the Hilig Rabbeinu Yonah, Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah said there's a Migel Haitzi and therefore it doesn't work, and it's a shtar? It must be Zok the Ktzois, I can't say it with a straight face, but it must be that Rabbeinu Yonah held like who? Held like who? Like his cousin the Ramban, that migala hotzi with a shtar is also called a migala hotzi. Remember the Ramban? The Ramban said the raya from Sitroi is not a raya. We spoke about this last week, right? Didn't we talk about this last week? The raya from Sitroi? No? 2 weeks ago. So comes the Ktzos and says, it must be that the only way to understand the Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Ksubis is in light of what Rabbeinu Yonah must hold like the Ramban, that a migala hotzi with a shtar is also called a migala hotzi. That's the first mahalach of the Ktzos. We have a little bit of chlish tadas. Why? Why a little bit of chlish tadas? It can't be. It's impossible what the Ktzos just said. You can't fault the Ktzos. What did the Ktzos not have? He'd never been Yonah Baba Basar. Everything the Rabbi Ktzos knew from the Rabbeinu Yonah, he's quoting from Rishonim, or quoting bits and pieces and snips of Rabbeinu Yonah. He didn't have Rabbeinu Yonah Baba Basar. It wasn't printed in his day. Sitting in Gniza somewhere in Europe. According to what we have in our Rabbeinu Yonah, in our sugya, is it feasible, is it tenable to say such a thing? That Rabbeinu Yonah held that a migala hotzi with a shtar doesn't work? Impossible to say such a thing. Why? Because that was the whole thrust of Rabbeinu Yonah's kasha and Rabbeinu Shashim. Why was Rabbeinu Yonah leading us down this whole shtickle Torah? Remember, he asked the kasha, why didn't Rabbeinu Shashim come clean right away? Because it would have been a migala hotzi. So then, frek the makasha, I said migala hotzi with a shtar, which is good. And he had to give a whole shtickle Torah, migala hotzi, mishtar, shetzach, shvu, he had to give a whole razzle dazzle, da da da, the whole story. Why didn't Rabbeinu Yonah just simply stop and say, it's a migala hotzi finish? So what, it's a shtar? Migala hotzi, mishtar, lo aminan. Why did he have to go further? Because the answer is Rabbeinu Yonah did not hold like the Ramban. Rabbeinu Yonah hold like Tosfos, that migala hotzi mishtar does work. So it's clear for Rabbeinu Yonah in Bava Basra that we have been zeichet to, that the Ktzos mahalach is not correct. I say that with trepidation, but I've got to say it. We've taken on the Ktzos before, no? Do it earlier on, okay? Okay, what can I do? What can I do? What can you do? Tairi lamda nitzarach. The utmost humility and fear, but tairihi. So this cannot be the correct pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah and Maseches Ksubis. So Rabbi said, the Ktzos pshat is not the correct pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah and Ksubis. What is the correct pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah and Ksubis? So Taka, why is it called the migala hotzi? Ait is a shtar. What's the real answer? No, what's the real answer, Rabbi say? The real answer is exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says in Bava Basra. It's a migala hotzi im a shtar, but it's a shtar that requires a shvua. And whenever you require a shvua, that requirement of a shvua undermines the karach of the shtar. The whole point of the shtar was to transform the mozi into being a muchzok. That's only true when it's shtar amid ligvais. We're going to steal the ktzais and use it for when we need it. We're cheating. We're quoting the ktzais against the ktzais. That we like the ktzais pshat in migal hotzim shtar. We're good to that. That's right on target. He's supported by Rabbeinu Yonah. It's chaval he didn't have Rabbeinu Yonah to support himself with. But we have discovered Rabbeinu Yonah. We realize that Ktzos pshat and migal hotzim shtar is 100% on target. And this is ultimately the answer to the Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Ksubis. So when all the dust settles, Rabbeinu Yonah in Ksubis reads like a charm. It's mamash l'shitosan. Rabbeinu Yonah in Ksubis' question about Pagenis. His answer that's a migala hotzi. The fact that he ignores the fact that there's a shtar, not chalila v'chalila that he holds that migala hotzi shtar doesn't work. He doesn't hold like the Ramban. Of course he holds that migala hotzi shtar works. But Rabbeinu Yonah holds that when you have a migala hotzi shtar shetzach shvua, that's called the migala hotzi which doesn't work. So Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well for Rabbeinu Yonah. We're home free. Everyone's happy. The Ktzos was almost happy. At least we had an upper hand against the Nesivos. And we don't think we had the correct shot of Rabbeinu Yonah. We can't fault him for it. He didn't have a Ktzos. He didn't have Rabbeinu Yonah. But at the end of the day, everyone's happy. Rabbeinu Yonah is happy. We're happy. The Ktzos is happy. Nesivos is not so happy. But okay, you know, can't make everybody happy. So everyone's Shalom HaYisrael. Okay? The Rabbi said this is all a result of one question and one question alone. What was the question? Just to put things into proper perspective. Why Rav Bashashim did what he did? Why did he eat the fruit first? Why didn't he just come forward and straight and apply and win the entire base of Migo? The answer is the Migo Lahitzi. I asked Migo Lahitzi with a shtar, Migo Lahitzi with a shtar with this, Sais the Nasibus, what the nature of this din is, Raya for the Ktzos, how does this fit into Rabbeinu Yonah and Ksubis? Everything is Shalom HaYisrael. Simple, right? Okay? Everyone got it? Who's with us? Who has no idea what we're talking about? Who's with us totally 100% on board? Who's on board Rov? Who's on board most of a good Rove? Who is still asleep? Didn't hear the question. Okay, good. Get everybody tracked down this year. Okay, so far so good. Simple, right? Very simple. This is only the first answer of Rabbeinu Yoina to the question as to why Rav Bashashim ate the fruit. We have another three more answers to go. Let's see if we can attempt the second teretz. The mystery of all mysteries, why did Rav Bashashim eat the fruit? Why didn't he just come forward at the beginning? Comes Rabbeinu Yoina, the Odia Shlomar, forget everything that's on the board now. The Odia Shlomar. Nothing to do with Migos anymore, Migalahotzis, forget everything. A totally different reason. You know why Rav Bashashim refused to come forward? Let's not forget from yesterday, according to most of the Rishonim, except for the Rush, what was Rav Bashashim's real plan? What was he really trying to accomplish? What was his incentive for this whole shtick? To avoid a shvu. At all costs, that's what his goal was, to avoid a shvu. Comes Rabbeinu Yoina of the Teretz Hasheni and says, there's a Mishnah in Ksubis and a Mishnah in Shavuos, the Mishnah we just referred to yesterday. The Mishnah gives up a list of people who take Shavuos. And all the Shavuos, they are all with the Rabbanah. Remember, we said with the Raisa that all of three Shavuos, and the common denominator of all of them is that the Shavuos are niftarin. You take the Shavuos and you don't got to pay. The Shemit doesn't pay. The Meidim Mikdash doesn't pay. The one who has an Elech Yetzim doesn't pay. The common denominator behind all Shavuos, the Raisa is the Shkoa, the Shbon, Shapatera, the Shbon, Velo, Mishaman. How do we know that, by the way? What's the pasuk in Chumash? For that klal, kol ha-nishboin shebeteira nishboin v'lo mishalman. There is inconceivable that shebe shvud yiraisa short of shvus ha-niftarin. It's the pasuk in Pashas Mishpatim. V'lo kach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. The pasuk describes the Shem Esach, it takes a shvua. Shvua sashem tia ben shneem v'lo shalach yadam lachzereu v'lo kach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. Comes the Gemara and says, v'lo kach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. It means the owner takes the shvua v'lo yishalem, and the person who takes the shvua does not pay. That's klal gadol in hilchos shvuas on a level of deraisa. And yet the Mishnah records 25 different shvuas, just arbitrary number. I don't know how many there are of different individuals. The chacham will misaken that if you want to get somebody else's money, you want to be a neitel, you have to take a shvua. So we rattled off a few of them. Knew what were some of them? Just quickly, just to remind ourselves. Togemus Ksubasa, okay. What? Erechad Omer Perua. Gov Menichse Yisom Lei Parala B'Shvua. Nobody else, that's it. Socher B'Zmano Notel B'Shvua. Nechbal Notel B'Shvua. So many cases. Choshen Al Shvua, Kenegda Notel B'Shvua. A lot of cases. They're all Shvua Sanit. Every single case on this Son Shvua Sanit. Comes up in the union and says, what's the common denominator? Common denominator is that if a person wants to get money in Beis Din, you want to get money out of somebody, you may win. You may have the better taina. You may, min haTorah, be entitled to this money, possibly. But one thing we're going to throw at you is what? What are we going to throw at you? A shvua. That's called the all-encompassing shvuas hanotlin. That's what it's called, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Shvuas hanotlin. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, it is conceivable, something that we thought until now was not even in the ballpark, it is conceivable, says Rabbeinu Yoina, that Miga Lahotzi Amrinan. It's possible that Miga Lahotzi works. It is possible. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, the second teretz. Not just with the shtar. It is possible Miga Lahotzi works. Not only is it possible, who said it? Because the Rabban said it. Miga Lahotzi Kein Amrinan, right? That was the Rabban's sheet and the Ikra Din in the beginning of Baba Basra, the beginning of Baba Metzia, right? Did we talk about this? The Rabban, no? Right? The Rabban holds, the Rabban Yosef is Kad Shaykh that Miga Lahotzi Kein Amrinan. However, even a Niach that Miga Lahotzi Amrinan, even if we're going to win a Din Torah based on Amigo, there's no way in the world we're going to let you win a Din Torah based on Amigo without taking a what? Without taking a Shavua. That will be next on the list of Shavuos HaNeitlin. There's no Mishnah that says Beferish in Ksubas or in Shavuos that Haba Imigo V'Hotzi Mamon Chayav Lishava. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you don't need a Mishnah that tells that. We got a list of 25 other cases. Every Shavuos HaNeitlin is done. Basically, whenever you get money, you're taking a Shavuos, just about. So that's also called the Shavuos HaNeitlin. Shavuos HaNeitlin, by its very name, is when you're coming to be Neitl Mamon, then you have to take a shvuah. You can't be nit l'mamon without a shvuah mid the rabbanon. When the money already is in your pocket and you're just trying to get away from the other guy, so then sometimes there are shvuahs, sometimes there are not shvuahs, but there is no all-encompassing klal called shvuahs and iftarin. But shvuahs and notlin is an absolute klal golo b'din. Mid the rabbanon, shvuahs and notlin. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah, this is what's going on now in Rav Bash Hashem. In light of this information I just told you, says Rabbeinu Yonah, this is Yisro, this is what's happening over here. Comes Rav Bash Hashem with two possible plans. Either Rav Bash Hashem can come forward at the beginning, before he ate any fruit, present to Shtar to Beis Din, and say, believe me, to collect this $10,000 that the father owes me, migo that I could have said the kuchi biyadi. That would have been plan A. Or, Rabbi Bash Hashem could have eaten $10,000 worth of fruit, and then come to Beis Din and say, by the way, I ate the $10,000, I'm not going to pay for the $10,000, believe me, that I was entitled to $10,000 for the shtar, migo could have said the kuchi biyadi. Those are plan A and plan B. Why did Rabbi Bash Hashem offer plan B, and what was wrong with plan A? The answer is very simple. Plan A would have made Rabbi Bash Hashem the halakhic status of a what? Of a noita. He would have been coming and asking for cash. He would have won asking for cash. He had absolutely every right to ask for the cash. He would have won. You know why he would have won? Because Miguel Hoytzemin, he had a good ego. He had a geschmack of ego. He would have won. He would have won at a cost. What would the cost have been? He would have had to take a shmur. And that's exactly what he was trying to accomplish, not to do. So comes the Rabbeinu Yonah and says, the reason why Rav Bash Hashem did plan B already, he had the cash in his pocket. Once he had the cash in his pocket, he was no longer nitl, he was a niftar. Once he's no longer nitl, then the shvuah doesn't apply to him. That's what was going on. That was the thrust of Rav Bash Hashem. Atkan tiv Rabbeinu Yonah. So this teretz is fundamentally different than the previous teretz. The previous teretz was focusing on the fact that the migo wouldn't have worked if it would have been a motzi, because of all these calculations. It would have been a classic Migo Hotzel Arminah. There would have been a chisor of the Migo. According to the second shot, there would have been nothing wrong with the Migo. The Migo would have been a hunky-dory, no matter whether plan A or plan B. But plan B got him out of the Shavua, which is what he was trying to accomplish. Plan A would have insisted that he take a Shavua. That's the difference between plan A and plan B. It's not whether the Migo was a valid Migo. That was the first terrorist of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Migo was good no matter what. It's just the question is whether you require a Shavua. So Rabbi said, let's stop. Stop for a second. Analyze this Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah just told us a tremendous chiddush in the second verse. Tremendous chiddush. He just told us that, again, we're assuming that Migel Hotzi works, right? We're in the Ramban territory now. We're assuming Migel Hotzi works. And yet I have a shvuah to take. And what are we saying in effect? If you have a shvuah to take, we're not going to let you off the hook from taking the shvuah just because you have a migo. We'll let you get the money. Migel Hotzi Amrinan. We'll believe you. We'll let you take the money. But don't use migo to do what? Don't do migo to do what? To avoid a shvuah. Migo ain't going to work. Migo's not going to work. Liftor mi shvuah. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah just said, right? Is that what he just said? He said there's a shvuah sanotin staring you in the face. We're not going to give you a ptua. We're not going to give you a get out of shvuah card because you have a migo. You have to take the shvuah. Migo's not going to work to exempt you from a shvuah. Is Rabbeinu Yonah right? Was he not right? So it's a machlekes of Yishayim. It's a machlekes between the Rif and Rabbeinu Ephraim. Comes the Rashba. Remember the Rashba in Daf Mem Vav? I put on the Marmar Kemis. Comes the Rashba and refers to it to Gemara. Appears at the end of a mitzvah. Was it Kuf Tezayim or Daf Zayin? I put the Marmar Kemis. Put the Gemara in the Marmar Kemis. Kuf Tezayim above mitzvah. I didn't put it on. The Rashba didn't quote it. I'm sure I quoted. I think it was Kuf Tezayim. Give or take. Comes the Gemara of Mitzvah and says as follows. I'm going to be so bold. Whose watch is this? No, it's not. It's my watch. Moshe, you owe me $10,000. How much is this watch? Okay. You owe me $500, Moshe. Okay? You owe me $500. I lent you $500. Moshe says, you're crazy. I never borrowed any money from you. I don't know who you are. I say, okay, this watch is worth $500. I'm going to come to Beis Din, I'm going to say, this watch is lakuach biyadi. I bought the watch from him. I'm holding on to the watch. Nobody saw it. Avi didn't see that. I just swiped the watch from him. Nobody saw it. So I have a taina to say lakuach biyadi. Comes the Gemara and says, migo I could say lakuach biyadi. What can I say? What can I do? No. I could be teveya ad kedei the name of the watch. I can't say that Moshe owes me more than $500 because I don't have a migo on that. I only have $500 worth of value in my hand. The migo that I could say, lakuach biyadi, I could say that Moshe owes me $500. Pretty impressive, huh? Pretty fancy, huh? We're going to get to that a little bit later. We're talk about migo and mumble a little bit more. But that's the basic format of what the Gemara says. That's a new migo. That's called the migo. The Iba Yom Lakuach biyadi. It's not so new. We've seen it before. It's basically the same migo as this. It's run by Shashim's migo. I can be believed to say up to a value of what the mashkan that I'm holding on to. Migo, I could say, lakuach biyadi. That's the Farish Gemara. Again, we'll talk about the parameters of that din as we go on. Comes the riff and says, wait a second, hold on one second. You're going to believe that Rabbi Salosky is going to walk into Beis Din and look Moshe straight in the face, holding on to his watch, and say, you got to, you know, cough up the $500 just like that? What's the Beis Din going to make me do? You can make take a shvua. What's the shvua? Name the shvua. Name that shvua, please. What's the name of that shvua? What's it called? Shvua Sanaitlin. Says the Rif. That's the Mishnah in Ksubas. That's the Mishnah Shvua. It's called Shvua Sanaitlin. You want to collect from somebody? Take the shvua. Shvua Sanaitlin. So comes the Rif and asks himself, "What do you mean Shvua Sanaitlin? But I have a migo. I have a migo. It's the greatest migo in the world. It's a Ferish Gemara Mabetzia. Rav is migo. Migo de Beyam Alakuchi Biyadi." Comes the Rif and says, yeah, well, of course you have a migo. We're not questioning your migo. We're just saying you have a migo and you happen to have a shvua also. So migo is not going to work. Lift up a shvua, said Neitlin. And Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Talmidim of the Rif, disagrees with his Rebbe. He says, it's not true. He says, it's not true. The migo is unbelievable. The migo is great. And it's going to work. And you don't have to take a shvua even. So everybody agrees the migo is good. The Gemara says, the Ferish, that migo is good. Again, how the parameters, how it works, we're not up to it yet. But everybody agrees that migo is a good migo. Believe me that you owe me the money, migo. I could have said that this wash is the kulcha biyadi. Whether or not you have to take a shvua is totally on machlekes of Rishon Rav. The Rif said you do have to take a shvua, and the Rebbeinu Ephraim says you don't have to take a shvua. So comes Rabbeinu Yonah. Everyone see Rabbeinu Yonah in our sugya? Who has Rabbeinu Yonah here? No one has Rabbeinu Yonah here? Who saw Rabbeinu Yonah inside in our sugya? Rui saw inside? When Rabbeinu Yonah gave the second parents. And he said, the reason why Rav Bar Shashim did what he did, why he went with plan B and didn't go with plan A, says Rabbeinu Yonah, what would have been wrong with plan A? Plan A would have required a shvua. Ka'usa sha'amru. Anyone see what he said? What did he say? Anyone see what his mashal was? Moshe, is it a mashal? He said, it wasn't a mashal. He referred to it. He said, Kemo sha'amru le'inyan. What? Melvel mashkan v'chule, right? So everyone know what he was talking about? That's what he was talking about. That's what he was talking about. That's exactly what he was talking about. That migo of migo I could have said lekuach biyadi. Just as the tshuva sarif, he doesn't quote all the Maamar Kamis, but I'm filling it in for you. Just as the Rif writes in a tshuva that avadi you believe, but avadi you have to take a shvua, because shvua doesn't work to get rid of him, so migo doesn't work to get rid of a shvua, so too, migo doesn't work to get rid of this of the shvu here as well. So Adkan, the second teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. So far, so good. Basically, we have two very, very different mahalachim in Rabbeinu Yonah. Why is it that Rav Bar Shashim went plan A, didn't go plan A? Either because it would have been a migal hotzi la aminan, with all the complications thereof. Well, the second mahalach is that even though migal hotzi came aminan, but he still would have been stuck back in hilchos shvuos, which is where he wanted to try to avoid. Rabbi Yisai, do we understand the second teretz now? Does this ring a bell, bring back some memories? Formulate Rabbeinu Yonah very clearly, the second teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. What did he just say? He just said, the migo is a great migo, not like he said in the first teretz. It's a great migo, it's an excellent migo, there's nothing wrong with this migo. Migo la'itzi amrinan, the Ramban's 100% right in the second teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's a good migo. And it's still not going to work to exempt the shvua. What did he just say? What did Rabbeinu Yonah just say? Migo Liftar, make believe what it says here. Mishvua. What? If anyone can see what I'm writing. Lai. I'm reading him. Did he just say that? Migo lift him shvul amrina. Can you see it? Clear as day. Migo lift him shvul amrina. Did he really say that? We've learned about this already. Migo lift him shvul amrina is not a new concept for us. Who is this in the chalekas between with the migo lift him shvul amrina and alarmina? No, it's the chalekas taizmir megash. Didn't we just talk about this yesterday? The rush. Yeah, the rush taiz the same thing, Shita. What was Shitas HaRosh and Shitas HaRimagash and Migar Liftar Mishvul Aminat? So the Rimagash said, Migar Liftar Mishvul Aminat. Only Migar Liftar Mimaman, not Migar Liftar Mishvul. No such thing. Migar Liftar Mishvul Aminat. And the Rosh says, Mahalo Hayatvar Mi'adam. It's not true. There's no such Gemara. The Rai is from Shemachinam and from Meirechad. Remember the Rai? Last semester, guys. So this is an age old machlaikis where the Migar Liftar Mishvul Aminat Allah Aminat. Is this the same machlekes? This machlekes, the Rif and Rabbeinu Ephraim, is the same machlekes, the Rosh and the Rimagash of last semester? Is this the same machlekes? Is it or not? Is this the identical sugya? What's the difference between last semester and this semester? Last semester we had a machlekes in the Rosh and the Rimagash, where the Migor Liftor Meshvur, Mina Beshvur Sashayim, Rimagash Beshvur Sei Dechot, and now we have a machlekes, the Rif and Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Yair, but Migor Liftor Meshvur, Meshvur Sei Neitlan. Is this the same sugya? Is it? Is it identical? What's the difference between the two sugyas? What kind of shvu are we talking about? What kind of shvu were we talking about last semester? What kind of shvu were we talking about this semester? Last semester we were talking about a klal a love of deraisa, migula shvu deraisa, amina lo amina. Last semester the Rosh and the Rimagash were fighting about shvu sashaimrim, and about shvu seidechot, and about shvu made of a mikzas, where the migul kepatra shvu. This semester, the Rif and Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Yain are arguing about Migo Lifta Meshvua Dirabonan, Shvus HaNoiplan, whether Amin Allah Aminan. Is it the same sugya? Not necessarily. Is there a certain pattern developing? Maybe want to invoke a principle we said yesterday, Kol Dawat Kiwat, Kol Dutikun, Rabbanan Kain Deraisa Tikun. Could there be some similarities within this? It's not identical sugya, but isn't it interesting that the same way we had a machlekas on a love of deraisa with the Migo Lifta Meshvua Aminan, we have a repeating machlekas on a love of Dirabonan with the Migo Lifta Meshvua Aminan? Is there any connection between these two sugyas? So comes the Rosh in Masechet Shavuos, and he quotes the Machlekes to Rabbeinu Ephraim with the Rif. He quotes the whole Shtikl Torah, and then he quotes the whole Shtikl Torah between the Rimagash and himself. And you know what the Rosh says? He says, "Ke'ein plukta hanal." He said, "Similar." I wasn't the first one to realize that there's a certain similarity between the two sugyas. The Rosh came to that realization as well. I also was not the only first person to realize that they're not identical, because if the Rosh held they're identical, he would have said, yeah, this is the same Shaila. He says, it's Ke'ein, it's close. There's something connecting these two sugyas. One's a sugya on the level of their Abana, one's a sugya on the level of their Aisa, but there seems to be a certain trend there, whether how far Migo works. Can Migo offset a Shavua or not? Who remembers what the lumdus was? Can Migo offset a Shavua? Can Migo get you out of a Shavua or not? What was our key chakira? What did we say 3 months ago? If Migo is a biror, then we can begin to understand why it could remove the requirement of a Shavua. Because what's the purpose of a Shavua? What is Beis Din trying to accomplish by administering a Shavua? What is the goal of a Shavua? To be Mevarer. If Shavua is supposed to be Mevarer, if Migo is also a form of a Biror, maybe Migo could substitute as a Biror for Shavua. However, if Migo is not a Biror of any shape and form, Migo is something else, but not a Biror in the classic sense of the word, how in the world can a Migo substitute for Shavua? A Shavua is supposed to be Mevarer the facts. Migo doesn't know anything. Migo doesn't require anything. Migo is a garnish. So Rabbi Sai, again, I'm not saying all these sugyas are one and the same. I'm not saying it's all identical. I'm just saying that there's something, there are some bells going off in this sugya. This machlekes of Rishonim, this second parrot of the Rimagash, I'm sorry, the second time, sorry, of the Rabbeinu Yoina, who is taking a stand on the machlekes, the Rif and Rabbeinu Ephraim, is reminiscent of some things that we spoke about in the past. So Rabbi Sai, again, it's the chaz that we have our original question. starting question number one, the basic question the Sugya Binyan starts with, why did Rav Bashashram wait to eat the fruit? Why didn't he come forward at the very beginning? Two terutzim. One was, it would have been amigo lahaitzi. We had to explain away why it would or would not have been amigo lahaitzi. Opened up for us this whole shtikotai with the ktsais and the sivas about shtar and yes, no, maybe so. That's the first half of the shiur. That's teretz number one. Second half of the shiur is teretz number two. Is that it wasn't a problem of amigo lahaitzi. The problem was, even though amigo lahaitzi came to Amiran, but you have a shvua over here and you can't get around shvua. And we had to point out, is that really true? Can you ever use Migo to circumvent the Shavuos and Oklahoma, like it's the Riff and Rabbeinu Ephraim, which may or may not be related to this original shot, which may or may not be related to a global understanding of what Migo is all about. But so far, everybody said we have two working answers in Rabbeinu Yaina to the original question. Hopefully, we'll have tomorrow, or not tomorrow, we'll have next Mabasa Shia. So we'll have to try to go on and see what other possible answers are to this dilemma. Okay, tomorrow we'll have a special tomorrow. Guys, a special or regular? Well, who wants regular shiur tomorrow? Who wants special shiur tomorrow? Okay. He's the second parent. We're saying that's a kachatayna. So kachatayna, then we understand why it doesn't work. Right? Okay, good. You figured this all out, Rabbi Yehuda? No, it's there. Okay. All right.